Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Bigger Picture on this is the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture. I'm Judith Jacobs with T. Xiao Eek. And today we have a couple of stories for you. In our first one, the COVID-19 pandemic is getting more overwhelming by the day. But you know, today, it being International Day of Happiness, one sliver of good news that has surfaced from all of this is that the restrictions on movements in many parts of the world has been decreasing air pollution and reducing CO2 emissions. So we're going to look at the links between human and ecosystem health.
Yes, and on top of it being International Day of Happiness, it's also World Poetry Day. That's tomorrow, actually. What better time to talk about this particular social media initiative to combat the spread of COVID-19? It's where healthcare professionals and others in Malaysia have been coming up with pantun on the importance of staying at home during this period of the movement control order. So we're going to look at this little trend on social media and why it's essential to continue spreading this message. And over on our own social media platforms on Twitter, we're asking you which hashtags or memes or social media campaigns on COVID-19 help people to understand the importance of staying home and social distancing during this period? So take that poll over at BFM Radio or also WhatsApp us your thoughts 018-789-8899. You can tell us any of your favorite hashtags that you have seen.
So that's more on that in our second story. But now in our first story, with global economic activity ramping down as a result of the coronavirus pandemic, it's hardly surprising that the emissions of a variety of gases related to energy and transport has also reduced. Mm-hmm. So an article in Science Alert reported that Stanford University environmental resource economist Marshall Burke, he worked on some back-of-the-envelope calculations about the recent air pollution drop over parts of China and the potential lives saved. Mm-hmm. You know, as a result of that. And the 2 months of pollution reduction, Burke calculates, has probably saved the lives of 4,000 children under the age of five and 73,000 adults over 70 in China. So that's significantly more, sadly to say, than the current global death toll from the virus itself.
Yeah, and the situation has continued to unfold since Burke first did those calculations. So those numbers won't stay current for long. But according to Burke, even conservatively, it's very likely that the lives saved locally from the reduction in pollution exceed COVID-19 deaths in China. Burke wrote, you know, given the huge amount of evidence that breathing dirty air contributes heavily to premature mortality, a natural, if admittedly strange question, is whether the lives saved from this reduction in pollution caused by economic disruption from COVID-19 exceeds the death toll from the virus itself. And even under very conservative assumptions, Burke thinks the answer is a clear yes.
Yeah, so I think this may come as a surprise to many, right? But research has long suggested that air pollution costs us about 3 years on average off our global life expectancy. So according to physicist Jos Liefeld from the Cyprus Institute in Nicosia, air pollution exceeds malaria as a global cause of premature death by a factor of 19. It exceeds violence by a factor of 16, HIV/AIDS by a factor of 9, alcohol by a factor of 45, and drug abuse by a factor of 60. So it's well established that air pollution really does kill.
Yes. But Burke's analysis was, in fact, just using data from China and was completed before there was more information about how COVID-19 has affected the rest of the world. And so now if you look at, you know, Italy is recording the second largest number of COVID-19 cases, and that country has been observing strict quarantine measures. If you look at satellite data over northern Italy, we can now see that there's a large drop in air pollution, specifically nitrogen dioxide, which is the gas mainly emitted by cars, trucks, power plants, and some industrial plants. So using the Tropomi instrument on the Copernicus Sentinel 5P satellite, images taken from the 1st of January to the 11th of March this year showed nitrogen dioxide dropping dramatically.
Yeah. And in another article that we found on the BBC, it's reported that data collected in New York this week suggests that instructions to curb unnecessary travel are having a significant impact as well. So like traffic levels in the city were estimated to be down by 35% compared with a year ago. And emissions of carbon monoxide, mainly due to cars and trucks, have fallen by around 50% for a couple of days this week. And this is, of course, according to researchers at Columbia University. Mm-hmm. And they've also found that there was a 5 to 10% drop in CO2 over New York and a solid drop in methane as well. Mm. And they do also say, though, that there was a number of caveats to these findings.
Yeah, but, you know, still, with aviation grinding to a halt and millions of people working from home, a range of emissions across many countries are likely following the same downward path. While people working from home will likely increase the use of home heating and electricity, on the other hand, you look at the curbing of commuting and the general slowdown in economies, that will likely have an impact on overall emissions. Now, what's likely to make a major difference to the scale of carbon emissions and air pollution is how governments decide to re-stimulate their economies after the pandemic eases.
Yeah, yes. So looking back at history, you know, in 2008 and 2009, after that global financial crash, carbon emissions actually shot up by 5% as a result of stimulus spending that boosted fossil fuel use. So, you know, in the coming months, governments, I guess they'll have a chance to alter that outcome. Mm. They, for instance, they could insist that any bailout of maybe airlines will be tied to far more stringent reductions in aviation emissions. Mm-hmm. A professor from the University of East Anglia, Corinne Lacroix, she said that governments now have to be really cautious on how they re-stimulate their economies, mindful of not locking in fossil fuels again. Mm-hmm. They should focus on those things that are ready to go that would lower emissions, like renovating buildings, putting in heat pumps and electric chargers. You know, these are not complicated and can be done straight away. They're just waiting for the financial incentives.
Yeah, but there are some who argue that if the pandemic goes on for a long time, any stimulus would more likely focus on promoting any economic growth regardless of the impact on the environment. So Professor Glenn Peters from the Center for International Climate Research has said that he thinks, unfortunately, climate could go on the back burner. Yeah. And that in this case, there is not much hope that stimulus will go to clean energy. He believes that any stimulus will help those with job losses, such as in particular sectors like tourism and services, and that this is very different to the global financial crisis, for instance. And, well, the only silver linings perhaps could be learning new practices to work remotely, as we have found, and buying a few years of lower growth, thus allowing your renewable energies like solar and wind to catch up a bit.
Yeah, and in yet another article, we're reading lots of articles about this. In The Guardian this time, a number of researchers have said that, you know, they do believe it's humanity's destruction of biodiversity that has created these conditions, you know, for new viruses and diseases such as COVID-19 to arise. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, with profound health and economic impacts in both rich and poor countries alike. So David Quammen, who is the author of Spillover, Animal Infections and the Next Pandemic, he recently wrote in the New York Times that we invade tropical forests and other wild landscapes, you know, which harbour so many species of animals and plants. And of course, within those creatures are so many unknown viruses. Mm-hmm. We cut the trees, we kill the animals, or we cage them, or we send them to markets. Mm-hmm. We disrupt ecosystems and we shake viruses loose from their natural hosts. And when that happens, they need a new host, and often we are it. So, you know, this is another argument for why we really, really need to rethink how we do things moving forward.
Yeah. So that's why there are also articles among all of those that we're reading.
There's tons of them.
That's right. And one article is you know, people calling for this nature's reset button. Mm-hmm. And if you think about, I think many of you would have seen some posts as well of what's been happening around the world where there have been lockdowns or restrictions of movements. Let's take a look at Venice. The canals, which are normally teeming with boat tourists and boat traffic, are nearly empty. And on social media, people are sharing photos and videos of clear water and even wildlife that's rarely seen this close to the city. I mean, dolphins have been seen in Italy after a long time.
Yeah.
And a resident from Sardinia in Italy tweeted, boars in the middle of my hometown, dolphins in the port of Cagliari, ducks in the fountains in Rome, Venice canals have now clean water full of fishes, air pollution has dropped, nature is reclaiming its spaces during quarantine in Italy. And in fact, you know, I was just thinking for the past couple of days as I leave my house to come to work, usually the neighborhood is just filled with sounds of traffic from the roads outside.
Yeah.
Just the movements of human beings, right? Yeah. But with that, even it feels like completely cut off with any sort of human activity right now, I can hear birds in my neighborhood again.
And it's a small thing, but it's a significant thing, isn't it?
It is significant enough that it made me stop, listen, and go, here's something that I've been missing, and I didn't know I was missing it.
Yeah. And, you know, I haven't been experiencing myself, I mean, that myself. I, unfortunately, I've been just home and office. No time to hear the birds.
To hear the birds.
But, you know, I did get in touch with Andrew Sebastian. He's the founder and chief executive officer of the Ecotourism and Conservation Society of Malaysia. So I spoke to him earlier today because I wanted to get his thoughts on whether, you know, nature can actually reset now that all the humans are staying home, or at least, you know, in large quantities. So here's what Andrew had to say.
Yes, the answer is yes, because transportation sector, manufacturing, that is the highest, they account for the highest CO2 and GHG, greenhouse gas emissions in our country and worldwide. Yeah, so with less traveling and with less stuff being put out in the air, yes, for climate change, it's a pretty good thing that's going to happen now. My heart goes out to everybody who's affected in terms of economics, but for nature, yes, it's actually a really good thing.
And some have said that, you know, what's happening now is caused by basically our just, you know, humanity's destruction of biodiversity. You know, we've created these conditions for new viruses and diseases such as COVID-19 to arise, and that we should just expect more to come, you know, as we further encroach upon nature. What are your thoughts on that?
I think this is not a new thing. A lot of people have been saying the same things over the years, yeah, that our destructive practices, our encroachment into all natural ecosystems, our activities in speeding along climate change and putting a lot more GHGs into the atmosphere has a big impact in the natural environment. Yeah. So people have been saying this for many, many, many years. We've talked about this for many, many years. Scientists have alerted us and put us on notice, but didn't heed the call. And so my answer is yes. These are signs of things to come. Everything from malaria to even AIDS. Yeah. At some point,
yeah,
a lot of things are happening because we've interfered, because we have... struck an imbalance to nature, yes.
Okay. And, you know, with everything that's happened, what can we learn from all of this? You know, what do you hope comes after all of this? You know, areas of opportunities that we can improve on moving forward?
I think that's tough. That's tough to say, because we are just at the beginning of trying to realize how much impact this virus, this one particular virus, has on all of us. Yeah, so a lot of things are happening, and it's quite fluid right now. Mm-hmm. But I think the takeaway message would be: everybody who's been saying we have to protect nature, we have to respect it more, we have to protect natural ecosystems, we have to protect the rainforests, water resources, and so on. It's all true. It's all true. So the take back message is: let's protect all our natural ecosystems. Let us respect wildlife. Let us keep distances from wildlife. Let us not eat, ingest exotic animals. Things like that, you know. So I'm very sure this is going to be a good debate that's going to go on for a long time today and moving forward. But I do hope that, you know, a lot more seriousness is put into our natural resources.
Mm-hmm.
So the Ministry of Natural Resources, the ministry, I don't know what is the ministry now, but when it comes to nature, when it comes to our rainforests, our waterways and whatever not, you know, I think a lot more attention has to be put by this government today.
Okay, all right. And I guess, you know, one positive thing that we've seen is that, you know, China has, for example, put a ban on the trade of wildlife meat, for example. And hopefully, you know, more countries will get on board the fight against the trade of illegal wildlife.
Yes, yes, yes. I think a lot more people will mobilize themselves. I think communities, people who know that your neighbors are are poaching animals or helping the trade, I think a lot more people are going to step forward and be whistleblowers. So I think that is going to be a positive thing.
So that was Andrew Sebastian, the founder and chief executive officer of the Ecotourism and Conservation Society of Malaysia, mm-hmm. or ECOMAI for short. So, you know, in the long term, given that the new infectious diseases will likely continue to spread rapidly into and within cities, we really, really need to call for an overhaul of current approaches to urban planning and development. And also, I guess, our attitude towards the illegal Absolutely. Wildlife trade. I mean, it all kind of stemmed from there, mm-hmm. didn't it? And that includes, of course, the consumption of such meat, but also the illegal pet trade, mm-hmm. which is, you know, alive and thriving yes. in Malaysia, and so forth. And hopefully this becomes a matter of global concern and action.
Yes. In fact, there are some people who are even asking, why aren't we treating climate change like an infectious disease? The way people have reacted with such speed and alarm to COVID-19, that is in fact the kind of urgency that we need for climate to address climate change. Mm. I mean, the sheer amount of action due to, or rather in response to COVID-19 shows what's really possible if governments and individuals could set aside short-term thinking. And there's a sense that when people recognize that something is an emergency, pretty extreme measures can be taken. Yeah. Unfortunately, people don't see climate change as an emergency.
That's
there's no
the problem.
Immediate impact on your lives, on your livelihoods, on your health. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we are complacent. Yeah. But I like this idea of being able to reset nature, mm-hmm. right? Because during this downtime now, and with no disrespect at all to those who are suffering from COVID, those whose families are grappling with this. But for the rest of us, you know, and for governments in this downtime, we can really reassess what our priorities should be when we restart.
Exactly. And again, you know, just going back to what you just said, Sherry, you know, that there is action can be taken, you know, mm-hmm. there are so many things that could be put into place. And also, you know, in this downtime, if you can call it that, we should rethink how we're going to come out of this. I mean, we spoke to Paul Jay earlier this week about, you know, how to respond to the COVID-19 situation in terms of our mental health, mm-hmm. you know, and he, one of his takeaway messages was that, you know, we can't come out of this without having learned any lessons.
That's right.
And changing the way we operate in the future. Mm-hmm. So let's hope, you know, everybody actually does do that.
Yeah.
Well, continue to send your thoughts to us. Tweet us at BFM Radio. You can always send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899 if you have any thoughts. But we're going to take a quick break now. So we're going to leave you for a while with Formula and Nature. This is The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.